So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. This will be the second chapter, and we'll read from verses number 36 through to 39. So I'm going to read verses 36 through to 38. We will chant verse 39 together, and then we'll also read the purport and discuss on that basis. Okay, so... If I just read the translation up until 39, is that okay, or would you prefer the... Okay. That's okay? Okay. So, this chapter is entitled The Ecstatic Manifestations of Lord Chaitanya. So, text number 36. If by chance the transcendental form of Krishna comes before the path of my vision, my heart, injured from being beaten, will be stolen away by Cupid, happiness personified. Because I could not see the beautiful form of Krishna to my heart's content, when I again see his form, I shall decorate the phases of time with many jewels. Purport. This verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani in Ramananda Roy's Jagannath Vallabha Nataka, 311. Text number 37. Whenever I had the chance to see Lord Krishna's face and his flute, even in a dream, two enemies would appear before me. They were Pleasure and Cupid. And since they took away my mind, I was not able to see the face of Krishna to the full satisfaction of my eyes. Text number 38. If by chance such a moment comes when I can once again see Krishna, then I shall worship those seconds, moments, and hours with flower garlands and pulp of sandalwood and decorate them with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. Okay. So now text number 39. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In an instant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained external consciousness and saw two persons before him. Questioning them, he asked, "Am I conscious? What dreams have I been seeing? What craziness have I spoken? Have you heard some expressions of humility?" Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spoke in ecstasy, he saw two persons before him. One was his secretary, Swarup Damodar, and the other was Ramananda Roy. Coming to his external consciousness, he saw them both present, and although he was still talking in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he immediately began to question whether he was the same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Magyana Timuranda Siya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vantya Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this verse, has just come to external consciousness. Prior to this verse, he is in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. And there's a whole range of different things that should be considered here, and also some themes as well. First of all, this is the reason why he's come. If you read the beginning of this section, it is explained that these are the last 12 years of his time on the earth. And he has gone into this very, very deep ecstasy. And in fact, in the prior verses, it explains some of the expressions of that. And these are very, very intense expressions. Very, very confidential expressions. Very difficult to understand expressions of what he's experiencing and feeling. There's also the theme that takes place here. The theme between the external and the internal. We know that when Krishna decides to come, when he decided to come in the form, in the mood, in the lust of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a mission, or literally plural, missions. External mission, internal mission, both things are completely spiritual and both things are completely connected. External mission, to spread this Nam Sankirtan. Spread this mission of Krishna consciousness, and in particular to spread the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy names, the panacea or the medicine for this age. At the same time, he has an internal mission. He will need to understand what is it about him. Krishna will need to understand what is it about him that is so attractive to Srimati Radharani. What is it that she tastes in his love? And in this section, it's called the ecstatic manifestations of Lord Chaitanya. These are his ecstasies. But it's also very interesting, his ecstasies have expressions. In the prior verses we hear that he's reciting from Jagannath Vallabha Nataka. Jaya Shushi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jaya Shushi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jaya Shushi Ko Nitai Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tosim Harani Ki Jaya. So, he's also expressing himself through verses. So, as is explained in the previous purport, this verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani and Ramananda Roy's Jagannath Vallabha Natakam. That means that the verses, the bhajans, they are expressions of the moods of a devotee. And it's a reverse equation. On one side, they're the expressions of the moods, the ecstasies, the transcendental feelings of pure devotees. But the other side is also true, that by reciting and by reflecting upon them, one is also purifying the heart. One is also coming in touch with that mood. And one is also cultivating such moods within one's own heart. Everything in Krishna consciousness is a means for cultivation. But cultivation has two elements. It has the instrumental or the external practice, but it also has the consciousness. Right? And things are more powerful when the two things are aligned. The material state is like a state of schizophrenia, because there's a lot of disjointedness in the living entity. We say one thing, think something else, do something different. So a lack of alignment generally. But as one becomes purified in devotional service, everything is meant to be aligned. Everything is meant to be aligned. And when everything is aligned, things become more powerful. Literally every single aspect of the self is actually saying the same thing. The mind is calling out to the Lord. The body is calling out to the Lord. The heart is also calling out to the Lord. So there is a subtle meaning to this idea of duplicity in Krishna consciousness. Duplicity means we act one way, but we think something different. But it's a natural starting point in Kali Yuga. Right? Everyone begins there. But if there's progress, as there's progress, that's meant to be less and less. So the Lord is expressing these deep feelings and he comes out of this internal consciousness. And when he comes out, he's asking these questions. Why? Because ultimately Krishna consciousness is an affair of the heart. And this is something that's very practical also. The fact that Krishna consciousness is an affair of the heart means that there should be a real sense of caution in spiritual life. There's a few dimensions I wanted to explore in relation to this. First of all, everyone has limitations in Kali Yuga. Right? And those limitations are not so obvious. Because we have very, very deep conditioning, not only from this lifetime. Like so in the modern world, when someone does something wrong, they'll take it back to your childhood. But they generally have no conception that actually many of the bad habits people have in this life are due to things which are deeply entrenched from things that they did in previous lives. Okay? So they can only see back a short distance, but so many other things are there. Right? So we have these samskaras from previous lives. In fact, the nature a person has is also a deeply embedded samskar. You don't get to choose that. Right? And you don't get to change that either. You get to work with it. Yeah? That's the first thing. Second thing is the experiences we have in this life that we are having. You look at the devotee, you can't see what they're going through necessarily. Because you can't see all the things which are the backstory, the background experiences. You don't even know what they're going through right now. So again, note of caution. The person who gives you a hard time, they may be going through something very, very difficult right here, right now. You don't know about it. But it's affecting their behavior. But Krishna can see everything. And that's a huge merciful arrangement. He can see everything. So therefore, what is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is that Srila Prabhupada has given the devotees some work to do. The work that we've been given to do is not enough to make us pure devotees and take us back home, back to Godhead. It's not. Even if you, from initiation onwards, you do everything properly, it's not enough by your own effort. You know, we're in this month of Kartik. And we often talk about Kartik being like a sail, right? You hear that term, right? Kartik is like a transcendental sail. That is true, right? That is true. But to be honest with you, to be really honest, because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, you should understand that you're getting a discount all year round. It's not just the month of Kartik. If everyone does everything, follows everything that they've been given to do properly, perfectly, it's still not enough to achieve prema. What will happen is, if we do everything we've been given to do properly, then there will be a supplement. The acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, pure devotees, they'll say they did as much as they could of the 20% that we asked them to do. We're going to cover for the other 80%. We're actually going to cover for the other 80%, and it is 80% or more. Right? Saying 20% is probably being extremely liberal. I'm thinking more single figures. But the acharyas are going to cover for us. It is just like the analogy. So I remember, sometimes you remember in your childhood, the parents will tell you, okay, if you do the washing, right, for the month, you do the washing every weekend for a month, we'll buy you that BMX bike for Christmas, okay? You can see where my leanings are coming from. Okay, we'll buy you the BMX bike for Christmas. If you were paid an hourly rate for the washing up every weekend, no one, if you get paid in the outside world, that's not going to amount to enough money to pay for the bike. Okay? What's happening is you're trying to please someone. And that's also something that we often forget. As long as I think it's due to me and my ability, I think I'm trying to endeavor, and that endeavor is going to make me perfect by my ability. It's a subtle type of false ego. Because then whatever you achieve, you think it's because you're so great. But you're not great at all, actually. There's nothing great about being a conditioned living entity in Kali Yuga. It's a really bad position to be in. Right? It's a really bad position. You look at the qualifications of living entities in different ages. I mean, what to speak of qualifications, just how long they were able to live. How much they were able to understand. We had Shrutidas. People, you just tell them once, they remember. The hearing of the intelligence was so acute. Kali Yuga, this is nothing. Right? So what happens is we're trying to please someone. And that's why, you see, there are symptoms in spiritual life. You can understand what's going on unconsciously, because here it's all about him coming out of external consciousness, out of internal consciousness, sorry. You can understand what's going on internally by what's happening externally. In fact, people's speech pattern is also saying something about what they're thinking. So this idea that I'm going to do it and I'm very great, it means you don't understand what's going on. You don't actually understand the process. Right? Because even if you did everything that you were told to do, it's not enough. It's not enough. Some Krishna consciousness, love of God, it has to be, is something that has to be gifted to the individual. It has to be gifted. So our effort is to try to please someone. And when we please someone, just like the child who pleases the parents then give, they pay for it. We didn't earn it. Someone else paid for it. And if we understand that at all stages in our spiritual life, then there'll be a natural expression. The expression will be humility. As long as I don't understand that, then it's like I can judge the other devotees, right? I'm doing a lot more than this person. But do you understand the genuine limitations of that person? See, we look at it through our material conditioning. I look at it in terms of the external manifestation of what I've done, how much I've done. Krishna looks at it in a different way. Krishna looked, especially Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya looks at it in a different way. He doesn't look at how much you've done, actually. He looks at how much the individual's holding back. You see the difference? He looks at how much the individual is holding back. You're a millionaire, you gave 100,000. Okay. Someone else is practically starving. They have £1. They gave 99 pence. Who's given more? You see the difference? Right? So it's, and it's a very subtle calculation. So it's, what do they have? Now this is why we really revere this avatar. Right? Bhakti avatar. Because technically speaking, I was discussing this with one devotee the other day. You take a step back. Why does someone have a limitation in this life? Why is it? Why? So you say, well, this person only has £1. He's giving 99 pence. This person has £1,000,000. He's giving 10,000. Right? So you look at it and you say, the person who's given 99 pence is giving more of what he has than the person who's giving 10,000 of his million. Okay? Okay. And it's true. But if you were to be really strict, you'd have to go back. Okay, let's go back into their past lives. How come he only has £1? And how come he's got £1,000,000? Right? So that you say, oh, but he only has £1, but he's giving so much to Krishna. Yeah, but he only has £1 because he's a thief. In the previous life, he stole other people's money. That's why he only has £1. Right? But Lord Chaitanya doesn't take that into account. He could. He could take it into account. He could say, it's your own fault that you only have £1. Right? But he doesn't. He doesn't take that into account. So even our limitations, we should be very humble about that. Oh, but you know, I'm doing the best I can with my limitations. Yeah, but why do you have these limitations? You have these limitations because of something that you did wrong in the previous life. Okay, but let's forget all of that. Let's forget all of that. We are where we are. Right? So now, based upon where we are, let's give the best that we can. And that is again very, very merciful. Right? So there's a misconception often that we're dealing with our karma from previous lives. You're dealing with some of it. You're not dealing with all of your karma from previous lives. We've had billions of lifetimes. If you had to deal with all of the karma from all of your previous lives in one lifetime, it would not be possible. This is a portion. Right? A portion of the entire total comes through in a given lifetime. Okay? That's actually what's going on. And that by itself, that we're struggling with. Yeah? That by itself we're struggling with. Yeah? So we're being given mercy upon mercy upon mercy. It's not mercy, it's mercy intensified. Even to understand who this person is. And these very, very esoteric behaviors, pastimes, movements of the Lord. This is extraordinary. This is absolutely extraordinary. No one gets to hear about this. No one. What to speak of, try to approach the Lord in this merciful form. He's experiencing this intense mood of separation. And you should know, ultimately, this is where it ends up. You should know that. This is where it all ends up for us. For those who are followers of Srila Prabhupada, this Krishna consciousness is the crying game. This is where it ends up for every single one of us. We're going to be crying. We're going to be crying in the mood of separation, in separation from the other devotees. As the living entities, as the devotees leave the world, separation. And ultimately, in this mood of separation, this Vipralamba Bhav, and in fact, this whole movement is Vipralamba Seva. We're serving Krishna, serving him in separation. So recently, it was the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, separation. In one sense, that mood of separation, it is even greater than this Sambhog. Sambhog means union. Vipralamba means separation. So Krishna, he likes to play with the heart of his devotee. He likes to play with the heart of his devotee. So you, just like you churn something, there's also a way of churning the affection. So I was reading something. It was a pastime. It was by Giriraj Maharaj. So it was to do with Prabhupada's pastimes before he left the world. And Prabhupada wanted to go on parikram. And there were two camps of devotees. One camp of devotees did not want Prabhupada to go on parikram. Their fear was that his body is so fragile, if he goes on parikram, he could even leave his body. And there was another group of devotees. Prabhupada has asked to go on parikram, so we do what the spiritual master wants. Both of them are faultless. Both of them are faultless. Yeah? This desire to please and this desire to have this affectionate view of the well-being of the individual. So one group, okay, we will please him by following his instruction. Another group, we care about him so much, we don't want anything to happen to his fragile form. We don't want him to be in any kind of discomfort or suffering. Both are completely legitimate. I often think about this in terms of our movement and the immaturity that we have. The immaturity that we have, because we see things externally. In many cases, we see the external situation, but we don't see the sincerity of purpose. So someone doesn't agree, okay, that they're an enemy. It's very immature. It's very immature. They may disagree, but look beyond that. Why are they disagreeing? What is useful about the fact that they have a different view? What unifies these different angles or perceptions? So oftentimes you have different camps. You have people who are conservative, devotees who are conservative, and they've got a good point, a very good point. They are very much often considering of the purity of the teachings. They don't want anything to be changed, and that's completely legitimate. Then you have the liberals, and they have a very good point. They want to make something as available as possible. They want people to feel included, and it's completely legitimate. What are we? We're meant to be strict liberal, right? So strict and liberal, conservative and liberal. It's a question of in which way we're meant to be conservative and in which way we're meant to be liberal. But the two things are unified in Srila Prabhupada because he's both. And in fact, not only is he both, the teachings themselves are both. Yeah? So you could take this theme, internal consciousness, external consciousness, this idea of diunital, unity with diversity. Different things, but those two different things, they find their unifying factor if people are mature. If people are mature. If people are immature, it's only one side versus the other. But life itself is a mine of contradictions. It's a mine of contradictions. This sense of time is also very interesting. If by chance such a moment comes when I can once again see Krishna, then I shall worship those seconds, moments, and hours with flower garlands and pulp of sandalwood and decorate them with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. So what happens when your heart leaves the world? So what is going on here? We live for what? We live to serve Guru, to serve Vaishnavas, to serve ultimately Shri Radha and Krishna. What happens when your very reason for living leaves the world? So you see sometimes in the pastimes of great devotees, great acharyas, when their associates have left, Then they're just burning in this intense mood of separation. Where is Srup Damodar, etc., etc.? Where is, they're just calling out, where are these personalities? And we read about it conceptually, but to experience this emotionally, it is actually interesting. It's like torture, but at the same time, it's like ecstasy. How does that work? So in the material world, we just have the external side of these things. You're either suffering or you're happy, right? But in this realm of consciousness, this is actually what it is. It is a realm of consciousness. There's different levels of consciousness. See, there's actually a whole range of levels of consciousness which are within the mode of ignorance. Then you have a range of experiences when the consciousness is in the mode of passion. Then you have a whole range of experiences when the consciousness is in the mode of goodness. But then when you go beyond that to Shuddhasattva, there's variety within that Shuddhasattva. Varieties of consciousness, varieties of experience, and even varieties of prema within Shuddhasattva. And those varieties go all the way up to Mahabhav. And Mahabhav is that which is being experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And that Mahabhav is also experienced by Srimati Radharani. So we have the mundane reflection of it. So sometimes people ask, if there's evil in the world, where does that come from? Actually, evil comes from Krishna, actually. Everything comes from Krishna. But when it's experienced in the higher realms, right? It's like, for example, Krishna's playfulness and mischievousness, right? It has a very different quality to when its reflection is experienced here in the form of the mode of ignorance, right? Which is just suffering. But there, these are various varieties of ecstasy. Various varieties that churn, deepen, strengthen, draw out the different flavors of love, devotion and attachment. So in this pastime, so I kind of deviated. In this pastime, so these two different camps of devotees, one wanted to prepare for Prabhupada to go on Parakram, the other group wanted Prabhupada to stay. They didn't want him to move. And Prabhupada was ultimately came to the point, he was just speaking to one other devotee, he says, just look how much they love me. See how much affection that they have for me. And he was churning this. He was churning this affection that they have. In fact, ultimately, even in these pastimes, it's a churning. Because in the ultimate sense, we're going to follow, not just because of rules and regulations, because we have to, although that always will be followed. We're doing it ultimately out of love. That is what it comes down to. We're meant to cultivate a deep sense of love and attachment and attraction to the Lord. How is that done? If you look at these previous verses, if by chance the transcendental form of Krishna comes before the path of my vision, my heart, injured from being beaten, will be stolen away by Cupid, happiness personified. Because I could not see the beautiful form of Krishna to my heart's content, when I again see his form, I shall decorate the phases of time with many jewels. It starts with the nama. Right. But that name also leads to this guna, rupa, lila. As we keep practicing the chanting, there also becomes more of an appreciation for the beautiful form of the Lord. You see, for example, if you look at Radha Gokulananda, so Krishna has his flute, right? And the flute's a person. Right? Krishna, he really likes his flute. Krishna, one of the qualities of Krishna, he likes things being contrary. And one of the reasons why he likes his flute, because the flute, it's hollow, it's empty, and at the same time, in a contradictory sense, it's full of nectar. Right? So he likes that contradictoriness of the flute. So what you should understand is we're dealing with a real person. Right? And if, for example, when we read these Dhammadharastakam prayers, right? His locks of black hair tinged with red, right? All of these descriptions are to help us to understand his very sweet personal form. And then the activities, his qualities, all of these things, because we're trying to understand and get to know him as a person. What does he like to do as a person? How does he relate to his associates as a person? Therefore, Krishna book. Prabhupada is introducing us not just to Krishna, not just to his associates, but actually to the entire spiritual world. The dynamics that go on in Goloka Vrindavan. The pastimes that go on in Goloka Vrindavan. The loving exchanges of the Lord and his devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. Life and existence is ultimately all about love. And is all about these loving exchanges and relationships. That's actually the essence of all of this. But to approach it requires purity. And it requires purity and it requires practice. Purity and practice. The difficulty is that we get distracted in this world. So to go back to this analogy, the parents, they tell you, okay, if you just do the wash and the dishes for 2 weeks, we will give you that, we will buy that bike or whatever it is for you. And we start trying to do the washing every weekend. But then you turn around and you see some of your friends are playing. And you think, you know what? Maybe I can avoid washing dishes, right? Like, I've got two younger brothers. Maybe I can get one of them to do it. I'll circle back to the parents later on and say, look, they're clean. Don't mention the fact that my younger brother did the washing, right? We get distracted. The reason why we get distracted is by happiness. You think other people are happier than you. You see? That's actually the thing that causes people to get distracted in Krishna consciousness. I'm trying so hard, but you know what? They're not trying and they seem to be doing okay. Maybe I can take my foot off the pedal a little bit. Maybe I don't need to try as hard, right? You know, or, you know, I'm trying so hard, but it's really difficult. They seem to be taking a break and nothing seems to be happening to them. So maybe I can kind of take a bit of a holiday. It doesn't work that way. Because already you've been given a discount. We've been given a discount. The idea is to do the very best that you can. Okay? We do have limitations in Kali Yuga. The biggest limitation in Kali Yuga is the fact that we're in Kali Yuga. It's already bad. Okay? It's not like, I was doing okay, then some limitations came. No, you were doing badly. Right? It's just that everyone else was doing badly. So relative to everyone else doing badly, you thought you were doing pretty good, right? It's like, you know, sometimes it, at school, they have the remedial class, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's the people, if they do really well, they'll get a D, okay? If they do really well and try really hard, that's the upper ceiling that they can get, you know? And then amongst the people in the remedial class, I'm doing pretty well, yeah, right? So if you do the best you can in that class, you're going to get a D. That's what's going on. So we should always be humble. There's nothing good about being in Kali Yuga except the fact that in Kali Yuga, because everyone is a mercy case, Krishna's like, okay, look, Lord Nityananda in particular, look, if we don't supplement it, in other words, like what they call it in business, match funding, right? For every pound you pull in, someone else is going to put 20 pounds in. If we don't do some kind of match funding, then there's no way they're going to start the business. It's like that. So it's very, very important to do our best. Do our best in our hearing, do our best in our chanting, do our best in association, do our best in trying to make Krishna consciousness available for everyone else and be humble about it. It's also very important, therefore, to be very merciful towards the devotees because A, you don't know what they're going through and B, you don't know what their genuine limitations are. What's easy for one devotee is actually can be very difficult for another person. So you often hear these kinds of statements. I'm doing it. Why can't they? Yeah, because they're not you. You see? They're not you. In a previous life, you had some kind of behavior whereby you found certain things to be easy. They don't find that same thing easy because they had a different experience, a different set of samskars. Right? I was preaching in South Africa recently. So we were doing some programs. I was just there for a few days. And I was speaking to one devotee, and they're working on a project, and they wanted to train the other devotees to develop certain skills and move in a certain direction. And I was just looking at what they wanted to train the devotees in. And I saw this is completely, what they're trying to do with the devotees is completely unrealistic. It's completely unrealistic. It's not going to happen. Right? And the reason why they're so enthusiastic is because it works for them. What they want to train other people in is something that they can do. Right? Because of a certain type of experience, a certain kind of character, etc. And I saw very clearly that what they're going to try and train the other devotees in is never going to happen. Because they're projecting. They're projecting what they can do onto other people without understanding what they can do because of their experiences and their kind of character is not going to work for everyone else. Wrong expectation. Our expectations are meant to be guided by the Shastra. It rarely happens. It rarely happens. So therefore, without meaning to, many times the devotees are just torturing themselves by expecting things of other people which are just completely unrealistic. Right? And because it's Krishna's energy, this devyeshu gunamayi mamamaya duratiya, because it's Krishna's energy, it's not going to change. Right? The material energy is not going to adjust to anyone. Be very clear on that. You're going to adjust. And that's good. That's good. It's so amazing. Krishna is so clever that he's designed the entire situation. It forces everyone to adjust. And why? Why is it that Krishna forces everyone to adjust? It's for one reason. Because when we have to adjust in our lives, when things don't happen the way that we want them to, when people don't do what we want, in the way that we want, when we want, what does it do? By that adjustment, it reminds you of one clear thing. It reminds us that we're not the controller. You see? I made a joke. Someone asked me, we did a Q&A in South Africa, and one devotee was asking me about he struggles to be humble. I said, don't worry, when you get married, it will change. Yeah. I said, because actually, when you get married, you'll realize that you're not the center of the universe. Right? Because that won't fly. It's not going to be what you want when you want. You're going to have to serve. But I said something else. It says that therefore someone who's really intelligent will cultivate humility now. You see, that's the point. It's not a question of if you're going to be humble. You're going to be humble. You are going to be humble because you're in Krishna consciousness. In order to last and in order to progress in Krishna consciousness, we will have to be humble. So therefore, if it's something that's inevitable, why not develop it now? Why wait to be forced to do it? Why wait to be forced to be drag kicking and screaming? It's a huge opportunity for us. You see, it just requires some humility. What are the qualities I don't have, but I should have? Okay, so I'm not so tolerant, but I should be. Okay, let me work on it now. Why wait till you're forced by circumstance to become like that? Why not know and be honest and humble with yourself now and say, yeah, I don't have that quality. Let me work on it now. And therefore, you don't meet this kind of, you don't hit the brick walls. Because when you hit the brick wall, it's painful. You see the point? Right? So I'm not humble. Let me work on it now. Oh, you know what? I'm not very patient with people. Okay, let me practice being patient now. I'm not very tolerant. Ah, you know what? Let me practice it now. Why wait to be forced? Why wait to be forced? Because when you're forced, the tendency is to think, oh, life is difficult. I could be Krishna conscious, but you know that person, they're just making my life difficult. No, actually, that person is part of your journey. The obstacles and the challenges that you meet on the road to Krishna consciousness, it's not something in the way of your Krishna consciousness. It's part of your Krishna consciousness. It's there on purpose, en route to achieving love of Krishna. Or rather being gifted, let's say. Being gifted love of Krishna. These things are there and they're there for a purpose. And that purpose is to purify us. And that is also the connection between the spreading of the mission and actually tasting love of God. Because it requires a pure heart. to actually taste love of Krishna. It requires adhika. So we're very, very lucky. We're lucky that we have obstacles in Krishna consciousness. What needs to change is how we look at those obstacles. What needs to change is our vision of this. And therefore the Shastra allows us to frame that. Okay, this is something that's been sent by Krishna. Why? To make me stronger. This is something that's been sent by Krishna to make me more humble. This is something that's been sent by Krishna. Why? In order to cause me to cry out to Krishna more. This is the crying game. And when we call out to Krishna more, what's he going to do? He's going to be merciful. Lord Chaitanya is going to be merciful because he's already merciful. And what we want is as much mercy as we can have. As much mercy as we can take. To do the very, very best that we can. So don't lose hope in Krishna consciousness. Expect the miracle. And expect that the miracle means you're going to get something that you don't deserve. That's a very special thing. In Krishna consciousness, if we take our practice, our service, our association to the limits of what we can, if we push our own boundaries, right, to the limits of what we can, sincerely, but in a wise and maintainable way. Wise and maintainable means you have to do it in association. Right? Because otherwise, and I see this a lot, in the name of being devotees, Prabhu, I need to go outside my comfort zone. That means that's translated, I just do something stupid. Right? Yeah, I didn't get any sleep. Right, my spiritual master's come to the airport and he needs someone to pick them up. I'm going to go outside my comfort zone, right? I haven't had any sleep, but, you know, I'm going to push myself because it's about, you know, I don't want to be comfortable. You're going to kill yourself and maybe even someone else. It's that kind of stupidity that people don't think about. So it should be done in association. There's actually 5 points. We gave this to the devotees in Radhadesh. 5 points for taking this through wisely. You're meant to practice your Krishna consciousness wisely. There's actually no benefit in going out of your comfort zone for the sake of it. It's not whether you're outside of your comfort zone or inside. And I'll tell you why. The reason is because what happens is we all have conditioning. So if you notice very carefully, when people talk about going outside of their comfort zone, they just do things they like. Right? So you could do anything out of your comfort zone, right? But what are you going to do? I'm a devotee. I'm into management. I want to go outside my comfort zone. So I manage a bigger project. You're not giving up management and doing counseling. That's really outside of your comfort zone. You stay inside the things that you like doing, but you just do it in a bigger way. And yes, I'm stretching, Prabhu. I'm so magnanimous. I'm such a magnanimous devotee. No, you're just doing what you feel like doing. And unless someone sees that carefully and points out to you, do you realize that you've got a bias? So when you talk about stretching, you only stretch in the ways that you like. Or you only stretch in the ways that you feel comfortable. Or you only stretch in the ways which are prestigious. You don't actually stretch in other ways. There's some subtle, but you're unconscious of it. And Kali Yuga is full of that. Kali Yuga is full of people who are unconscious. So pasyanapina pashyati. You don't really see what's going on. So this 5-point system that we gave the devotees from the Shastra is, it begins with accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable. You're going to do that consciously because you don't have any other option. Because unconscious means by definition what you can't see. So accept what's favorable, reject what's favorable. I'm sorry, accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable based upon your conscious awareness and your intelligence. But it doesn't stop there. Then the third thing is you'll do it in association. Okay, that means guidance. Okay, because I can't see everything. So I've got an idea, and I've got also good guidance, good association. Well, I'm thinking to do this. What are your thoughts? But that guidance has to also be done in a certain way. So which brings us to the fourth point. Fourth point is to be open. Right, so six loving exchanges reveal the mind. Because if you take guidance, but you don't share all the relevant information, it becomes a problem, isn't it? And I'm sure many of you have seen that. You know, my authorities told me to do X. Okay, but when you asked them for guidance, did you give them all the information? Or did you just give them the pieces of the information which would lean them towards giving you the answer that you wanted to hear? You see the point? So,
accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable, in association, and in that association, you give all the relevant information. You share with them what's your real situation. This is what's going on with me, okay? So I want you to know the full picture so that you can then give me some wise and proper and appropriate guidance that will actually be relevant to my current situation. Now, the last point is actually in some ways the most important. The last point is sincere motive. Bhava Grahi Janardana. The difficulty in Kali Yuga is people want to be cheated. But if you have a sincere motive to make progress in spiritual life, then that's a real foundation to everything. Okay? Because Krishna sees that. Sarvasya chaham ridishani vishto matasmriti gyanam apohanam cha. He's prepared to give knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So why are we progressing? Ultimately, you're progressing because you want to progress. Actually, it's two things. To some extent, you want to progress, but the pure devotees who you've pleased, they want you to progress more than you do. So the two things come together as an aggregate. There's your desire, and there's the desire of the pure devotees who are also wanting you to progress. Krishna takes the two things in total and therefore responds. That's actually what's going on. So even our progress is not, oh, I'm progressing, I'm doing so well in spiritual life. Yeah, because, oh, so your spiritual master's praying for you then. Okay. That's how the whole thing works. We're a mercy case. One is that we're a mercy case. Two, we want as much as possible for the internal consciousness to really align with the external consciousness. You'll see over time, you can have two devotees, they're doing the same service for the same period of time, but they're not developing the same way. And actually, one devotee, you see, on the one hand, you could say, well, that's because this devotee is doing more than the other. No, that's the external thing. That can be the case, but it doesn't have to be. One devotee could be doing more than the other, but the other's progressing more than that devotee. Why? Because one of them is doing the best that they can. You see? It's actually, you do the very best that you actually can. That's what you're looking to do. Do the best that you can along with mercy. And so doing the best means actually try to really do everything you can to please pure devotees. And when you bring all of these things together, miracles will happen in your spiritual life. But that is also why you have to refrain from judging the other devotees. In fact, that is also a symptom of something. The reason why we get so distracted with what everyone else is doing is because you're not focusing your consciousness on doing what you're meant to be doing. You'll see a miracle. We've practiced this. We've tried. We've experimented this. If you practice your Krishna consciousness and you put your heart and soul into your service, right, and your association, if you really throw yourself into your service, your association and your chanting, and you're aligned properly, you're doing what you're meant to be doing, you'll see miracles happen. You'll forget what the other devotees are doing and what they're not doing. Right? To be honest with you, we shouldn't care what the other devotees are doing so much in a negative sense. We should care that we're doing what we're meant to be doing. Throw yourself into your service. Good association, not just association, because there is sometimes a lot of bad association around. Throw yourself into your service, throw yourself into good association, and throw yourself into your sadhana, and you'll find that it'll come to a point you'll forget what other people are doing. You'll forget the politics of the institution. You'll forget about, you won't care. In fact, that is how we solve the issues in the institution also. You solve the institutional issues by doing what you're meant to be doing. Because institutional issues are due to impurities in the heart. You understand? And the only way to counter impurities in the heart is that you have to become pure. You can't counter impurities in the heart of other people by getting into politics. You can do it by becoming pure yourself. Because by becoming pure, you purify the environment and you set the example. What people need to see is that they can gain more by becoming pure than they can by doing other stupid things. And you can only show that example by doing it yourself. You understand? That's how it works. And even when people do something wrong, forgive them, because if someone is so stupid that they're doing something wrong, they're just sending themselves into difficulty. So when you see other devotees doing wrong, it should cause us to feel some compassion. You know? Because it means that the person is actually acting against their own best interests. We should feel sorry for such people. And I mean genuine sorrow. I'm supposed to feel that way, but really I'm just angry with them. You should feel sorry for them, but you shouldn't be stupid either. So you have to learn. This Tesham Satata Yuktanam, it is also Krishna given the intelligence to navigate the situation wisely. Yeah, there's no points for being stupid in Krishna consciousness. In fact, being sentimental and acting unwisely means that there's some contamination of the mode of ignorance. There's nothing laudable about it. It's some contamination of the mode of ignorance. Okay. Anyway, we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Okay. I think we'll have to stop there. It's 9:00. Thank you very much for your time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.